Seated and tell them, the blessing of the Lord is upon you. Amen. And you can be seated. Yeah, the blessing of the Lord's on us. If you're born again, that means you're blessed. In fact, Ephesians tells us you've been blessed with every spiritual blessing that's in Christ Jesus. Amen. I want to invite you to open up your Bibles with me to the book of Galatians, Galatians chapter 3. And we're going to start out in verse 7. If you don't have a Bible and you'd like one, you can lift up your hand and our happy ushers, they'll be in the aisles now ready to give you a Bible. If you don't have a Bible at all, good news, now you do. You can hold on to that one and keep it and call it your own. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 7. There are some scriptures here that I have known for the majority of my salvation, the majority of my Christian experience. But friends, I'm telling you here as of late, over the last couple of weeks, these scriptures have just come alive to me. And that is God's plan for us, is to see His Word come alive. It's the Word that gives liberty. It's the Word that brings freedom and salvation. The Bible says He sent His Word and healed them. And so what we desire out of this session, and really every time we meet, is for the Word of God to become alive to us. The Word, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And when it's in your hand and you know how to use it, you have light on how to use it. Friend, there's no progress you can't make in life. And these scriptures that we're about to read, they literally change everything. In fact, that was the title of my message from 2 weeks ago. This changes everything. And I promise you, friend, if you see these scriptures for what they are, that this is God speaking to you. The Word of God, it's not a book. And I've said this over and over again, but it's the truth. God didn't give you the Bible to entertain you. He gave it to instruct you, to teach you how to live. And so when you're reading the Bible, if you're trying to read it for entertainment, you're missing the whole point. The point of the Bible is, yes, it should be fun to read, but at the same time, it's an instruction book on life. And when you see these instructions and you begin to apply them like the Word of God tells you to, friend, I'm telling you, it causes, like we were talking about, light to break forth in your life. And these scriptures are some of the most powerful in the entire Bible when you understand them. Let's read what they are. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 7. He says, "Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham." Now, what that means, if you are in the faith or of faith, it means you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You're in the faith. And notice what that means. It means that you are the same or the children of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen, that was us, through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, "In thee shall all the nations be blessed." So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. I'm of faith. That means I'm not only a child of God, but I come from the lineage of Abraham. I am blessed with him. The blessing that was upon his life, since I'm of faith, it means it's upon my life. If you're of the faith, if you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, it means the same thing for you. You're blessed with Abraham. You come from the same lineage, spiritually speaking, that Abraham came out of, and you are blessed with his blessing. Well, what in the world does that mean to be blessed with faithful Abraham? Those who are of faith have been justified by faith. We're blessed with Abraham. What in the world does that mean? He keeps on talking here. Go down to verse 13. And he says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. Oh, thank God for it. Being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, and that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Notice, if you've called upon Christ, it means Christ has justified your life. Christ has made you righteous. A part of that righteousness is being redeemed. We said that word redeem means to buy back. To redeem from the curse of the law. Christ has redeemed me. When you called upon Jesus, Christ redeemed you. He bought you back from the curse. And not only did he redeem you from the curse of the law, but he blessed you with the blessing. Not a blessing, the blessing of Abraham. As a child of the living God, you are redeemed from the curse and you are blessed with the blessing. It's a spiritual fact in your life. You are redeemed from the curse and you are blessed with the blessing. Now, what in the world does that mean? I'm sure if you've been in church at any length of time, you've probably heard these scriptures mentioned, read them in your Bible. I'm redeemed from the curse of the law. I'm blessed with the blessing of Abraham. What in the world does that mean? Friend, I'm telling you, when you understand this, it changes everything. I mean, it changes everything to understand how this world works. When God started off with creation, he started speaking to things with creative power. I was actually tweeting today, and I said, believing in the Big Bang Theory is like believing there was an explosion at a letter factory, and out of it you got a Webster's Dictionary. No, friend, when God wanted to create the world, I guess there was a big bang. God spoke and bang, it happened. But friend, I'm telling you, when God was creating things, all the way back in Genesis chapter 1, he was speaking, and with the force of his words, he was releasing creative power. God said, let there be light, and God saw the light. And he goes on and on speaking, and with his words, creating things with life and power. And then he gets to his man, and he doesn't stop speaking. Let's go over there and look at it, in fact. Let's not just talk about it. Let's look at it. Go over to Genesis chapter 1. Say this while you're turning. Say, I am redeemed from the curse. The curse has no right to operate in my life. I'm redeemed from it, and I'm blessed with the, not a, the blessing. Genesis chapter 1, you see God creating things. And how he created was, well, let's just read it in verse 3, Genesis 1 and verse 3. And God said, let there be light. And there was light, in verse 4. And God saw the light, that it was good. Notice, God said, and then God saw. What God says, he always sees. Anything that God speaks, he sees the produce of his words. His words have creative power. In fact, Hebrews tells us that the things which we see are made by things which we cannot see. This whole world was created by the spoken word of God. You couldn't see it, but you could hear it. And when God said it, it became substance. So God does all of these things, creates the universe, the world that we're on. Then God speaks to himself and says, let us create man in our own image after our own likeness. And he creates the man. But notice, right after he creates man, watch the first thing God does. Verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our own image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created them. Now watch this in verse 28. And God blessed them. The first conversation that mankind had with God was not a dialogue. It was a monologue. God created man, and the first thing he did when man came alive was God blessed him. Now, friends, you got to understand what this word blessing means. As we said 2 weeks ago, we water down our words. We talk so much that our words don't mean anything to us. And friend, that ought not be the case for us. When I say that, I'm talking about the world. You ought to value your words because the Bible says you'll give an account for every idle one. But we use words so often that we don't recognize what they mean. For instance, we'll tell someone, God bless you. Oh, God bless you. And what we mean by that is, I wish you well. I hope you see success in life. But when God blesses something, he's not wishing it success. He's empowering it to have success. To understand what's going on here, everything that God has spoken to is coming alive. It's coming with creative power. And when God blesses his man, the same creative power he was using to make the universe, he put a power, that same power, in his man. We said this word bless 2 weeks ago means two things. When man blesses God, it means to adore, to worship. It's sending our praise and adoration to God. But when God blesses man, it changes the word mors in the Hebrew. When God blesses you, it's not him wishing you well. It's not just even him speaking good things over your life. When God blesses you, it is for your benefit. The blessing of the Lord, it's designed to empower your life. In fact, when you look this word blessing up, and it's all throughout the Bible from Genesis to Revelations, you always see the blessing of God tied with life. When God blessed mankind, what it did is it gave mankind creative power to have advancement in life. The blessing of the Lord is a divine empowerment to prosper. And like we said 2 weeks ago, don't let that word prosper trip you up. It means to move forward, to see advancement. And when God blessed his man, he was empowering him, giving him the empowerment he need to see his life constantly move forward. God is not a backwards God. He always intends for your life to see advancement, to see promotion. And the blessing was the first thing God gave man to see that promotion take place in his life. God blessed him. And watch what it says here in verse 28. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the air, over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. God was not just giving him instruction, God was giving him an empowerment. He wasn't just telling him to have dominion. When God blessed him, he gave him the empowerment to have dominion. Not just instruction, but empowerment. And friends, after this, you see God make a perfect place for his man. Go down to verse 8 here in Genesis chapter 2. And if on the screens, if you can go to Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 22. Proverbs 10, verse 22 on the screens. We're going right here to Genesis chapter 2 and verse 8. It said, and the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. And there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. And the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads. The name of the first is Pison, that which is compasseth the whole land of that place where there is gold, and the gold of that land is good. There is Bedlam, and there is onyx stone, and the name of the second river is that other name. The same is compasseth the whole land of Ethiopian. And the name of the third river is Alatimtet Hedekel, that is it which goeth towards the east to Assyria. And the fourth river is Euphrates. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest eat freely, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest of it, therefore thou shalt surely die. God made his man. Right after he makes his man, he blesses his man. The first thing God did to Adam was bless him. This blessing was to empower his life to constantly see progress. For Adam's life to constantly see promotion. Then he creates a garden and makes it beautiful on purpose. The Bible says he makes it pretty just for Adam's sight, just for Adam to see pretty things. Puts him in the garden to dress it and keep it. At this point, there is no decay in the earth. There is no death in the earth. There is no imperfection in the earth. There is no toil in the earth. Man even didn't have to wait for rain. The Bible says that when the earth needed water, it just sprang up like a mist and covered the ground so that every tree produced just like it should. This is a perfect place. We're going to slap Adam when we get to heaven. Just take turns and just slap him. This is a perfect place, friend. And the reason why it's perfect is because that's the way God wanted it. Friend, I'm telling you, God wants to bless you. And it seems as if religion has come and said, that's enough talk about God blessing people. And I agree to some extent that the gospel is not only about what God can do for us, but about what we can do for God. And you need to go to a church that balances both. But friend, I'm telling you, all God thinks about is you. Like we said on Easter, God doesn't have a hobby. You are his hobby. God doesn't have a job. You are his job. You are the only thing he thinks about, the only thing he wakes up for, if he ever goes to sleep, which he doesn't, the only thing he thinks about all the time is blessing your life. Why? That's what he wanted from day one, was a man, a family on the earth that he could bless, be good to. So he blessed his man, put him in a perfect garden with no imperfection. It was God's design for man's body even to never see decay. That the older Adam got, the more stronger he got. That the more the earth progressed, that garden was to grow over the face of the earth. Why? That's God's design from day one. It's for you to see progress. To see life. That's what the blessing does. It brings life. And what I want you to see in this series is this, that when the blessing of the Lord is on your life, and according to Galatians chapter 3, and we're going to trace this blessing, but according to Galatians chapter 3, it is on you. When the blessing of the Lord is on your life, friend, you see progress. You see your life move forward. That the only enemy that the blessing hasn't conquered is death. that in this life we will taste of it. But there is a final victory even in that, where after that we go and be with our Heavenly Father and get a recreated body and a perfect body. Amen. We look forward to that day that knows no decay. But even until that day when you die, and the Bible has even promised man 120 years. And you see, and we're going to see it here, that when the blessing of the Lord was upon people's life, they lived out their number of their days with health and strength, that their bodies didn't decay. It's just when it came time to die, they gave up the ghost. They departed. The blessing of God. He put man in this garden with the blessing to be good to him. But he also gave mankind a choice. And when you understand this, you understand why there is evil in this world. He gave mankind a choice. Who are you going to serve? Are you going to obey me? Are you going to love me? Or are you going to turn your back on me? And we know the story. Mankind, Adam and Eve, they committed sin against God. Sin entered in the earth through the serpent, Satan. And when they ate of that apple or whatever fruit it was, something entered into this earth that is still here today. And that is the curse. God said, in the day that you eat of that tree, you shall surely die. What that word death means is decay. As soon as you eat of this tree, things are going to start to decay. Whereas before, everything was making progress. Once the curse enters into something, it starts eating away. And mankind from that moment saw decay hit the earth. His family started to fall apart. Adam and Eve start bickering with each other. Later they have sons, and we see the first murder ever. There are only four people on the earth, and one's killing the other one, and it's his brother. Why? It was the curse in the earth. It never would have happened underneath the blessing. Underneath the curse, you start seeing man's body start to fall apart. Where God intended it to stay strong and vibrant forever, and you see sickness and disease enter in the earth, imperfection showing up. But not only in people's bodies and not only in people's relationships, you see imperfection start hitting man's work. Whereas before, Adam tended and kept the garden with no toil. Everything produced perfectly. Everything worked perfectly. When the curse came in the earth, it completely changed it. We read it last week, but let's look at it again, or 2 weeks ago. Let's look at it again. I've got to build this foundation. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 17. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of your wife, and has eaten of the tree which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In sorrow will you eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns also and thistles shall bring it forth to thee. And thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face shall you eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and unto dust shall you return. The curse introduced toil. It introduced sorrow. Before, all Adam saw was what was pleasant to the sight. Now God says you'll see thorns and thistles. Before, all Adam had to do was tend and keep the garden. Now he's got to plant one. And sometimes when he plants it, it'll grow. But sometimes he'll work hard, till the ground all day long, but see no produce come from his work. Why? The blessing promotes life. The curse brings death and decay. Whereas the blessing pushes life forward, the curse pushes life back. Whereas the blessing provides promotion, the curse provides demotion. And from that time until now, what this world has tried to do is to manage the curse. And friend, I'm telling you, you can win some battles underneath the curse, but you will never win the war. The curse is indestructible unless you have the blessing of God on your life. I was reading the paper today, and you know what you see? I read the Wall Street Journal every morning. You see this world trying to fight against the curse. It's doing everything it can over in Europe to overcome that financial crisis. And they don't know what to do. Everyone's confused, and Greece is confused, and France is confused, and Italy is confused, and everyone's got a different opinion on how to overcome it. And that's the name of the game. As long as the curse is in the earth, all you can do is manage it. Friend, the average superpower on earth never lasts more than 100 years. Why is that? The curse. You can overcome it for a time, but until the blessing of the Lord comes on you, that's all you can do is overcome it for a time. And every hospital room, every sickness, every deformity, it's a result of the curse. The curse introduced imperfection. It wasn't God who introduced that. It's the curse in the earth. It's not God blessing someone. That's the most twisted theology ever written. It's not God blessing someone with sickness and disease. Sickness and disease is a part of the curse. Poverty and lack, it's a part of the curse. Life being toiled and difficult and full of sorrow, it's a part of the curse. And friend, I'm telling you, the greatest news ever told is what we read earlier. I'm redeemed from the curse, and I am blessed with the blessing. Let's go over to Deuteronomy 28. We'll close with this. I want you to see what the curse does and what the blessing does. Deuteronomy chapter 28. On the screens while you're turning, I'll read it to you. It says, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. Once again, you got to change your thinking. People think, oh, I got a new house. I got blessed. No, the blessing produced the new house. You're not blessed because you have health. It's the blessing that provided health. You're not blessed because you got a new job. It's the blessing that gave you the job. Anytime you see promotion in your life, it's the blessing of God. The blessing of God, it's more than just, oh, be blessed. The blessing of God, it does something. It causes your life to advance with no sorrow to it. Just like back in the Garden of Eden. We'll get to that in a minute. But look here in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1. God, I don't want to say that just yet, but here we see what the blessing will do. Deuteronomy 28 and verse 1. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord your God, to observe to do all of his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee. Once again, when the blessing of God is on you, it's not you having to work to produce the blessing or work to see the blessing. It's the blessing working in you until you see it. It's not you working for the blessing. It's the blessing working for you. And watch what the blessing will do for you. Verse 3, blessed will you be in the city, and blessed will you be in the field. No matter where you live, when the blessing's on you, you're blessed. Blessed will be the fruit of your body. That means your body in its production is producing. It's a blessed body. And the fruit of your ground, and the fruit of your cattle, and the increase of your kine, and the flocks of your sheep. That simply means your businesses. That whatever you're in business for, back then their primary business was agriculture and livestock. He's saying whatever your business in, when the blessing's on you, those things, your business will be blessed. Blessed will be your basket and your store. That'd be the equivalent of where you take your proceeds, whether it's a bank account or whatever it may be. Blessed will you be when you come in. Blessed will you be when you go out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before your face. They shall come against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessing. Once again, God doesn't wish you have a blessed day. He commands the blessing. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses and in all that you set your hand to. It's blessed. Once again, what does the blessing do? It's empowering you to see progress. You see progress in what you put your hand to. You see progress in where you store your money. You see it grow. You see it increase. You see progress in your body. You get healthier and healthier. You see progress at work. It's moving forward. It's empowering you to prosper. Verse 9, the Lord shall establish thee as a holy people unto himself, as he has sworn unto thee, if you keep the commandments of the Lord and walk in his ways. And all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they will be afraid of thee. And the Lord will make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of your body and in the fruit of your cattle, in the fruit of your ground, in the land which the Lord swore to thy fathers to give thee. The Lord will open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven, to give thee rain unto thy land in its season, to bless all the work of your hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, but you shall not borrow. And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. You'll be above only, and you'll never be beneath. If thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do them, and thou shalt not go aside from any of these words which I command thee this day, to the right or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. But it shall come to pass, if you will not hearken unto God, the voice of the Lord, to observe to do all of his commandments and statutes which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. We see first and foremost here what the blessing of the Lord does. When the blessing comes on you, it overtakes you. When it's on your life, you know it. How do you know it? You see it. You see it touch every arena of your life. Everything that concerns mankind is written about in these scriptures. The fruit of your body, how your body produces, God blesses it. He blesses all that's in your life, whatever you put your hand to. He blesses your bank accounts and your storehouses. He blesses your business. If any enemy comes against you, the Lord fights those battles for you. They come against you one way, they flee before you seven ways. The blessing of the Lord, it empowers your life to see progress. The curse, it does the complete opposite. Let's read about it and we'll close. Verse 16. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God, to observe to do all his commandments and statutes which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake you. Cursed will you be in the city. Cursed will you be in the field. Cursed will be your basket and store. Cursed will be the fruit of your body and the fruit of thy land and the increase of your kind. Cursed will you be when you come in. Cursed will you be when you go out. The Lord will send upon thee cursing, vexation, rebuke, and all that you set your hand to until you're destroyed and until you perish quickly because of the wickedness of thy doings whereby thou hast forsaken me. The Lord will make the pestilence cleave unto thee. We'll skip down all the way to verse 30. In verses 21 through 29, you see sickness and disease. Once again, sickness and disease, it is not a blessing. It comes from the curse. In verse 30, he says, thou shalt betroth a wife, and another man shall lie with her. You'll build a house, but you shall not dwell in it. You plant a vineyard, but you will not eat the grapes thereof. Thine ox shall be slain before thine eyes, and thou shalt eat and not eat thereof. Thine donkey shall be violently taken away before thy face, and shall not be restored to thee. Thy sheep shall be given unto your enemies, and thou shalt have none to rescue them. What this is talking about is debt. You build a house, but once you build it, you can't afford to live in it. You plant a vineyard, you work to start the business, but debt consumed it and ate it up. That's a part of the curse. You work for something only to have it violently taken away from you. Here he's talking about a donkey. Today it would be a car. You work for it, but it's stripped away from your possession. That's a part of the curse. He goes on talking in verse 32. Thy sons and thy daughters shall be given unto another people. Thine eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all the day long, and there shall be no might in your hand. The fruit of thy land and all thy labor shall a nation which thou knowest not eat up, and thou shalt be only oppressed and crushed away, so that thou shalt be mad for the sight of thine eyes which you will see. The Lord will smite thee in the knees and in the legs. Once again, we see through this physical pain. From the sole of thy foot to the top of your head. The Lord shall bring thee and thy king which thou shalt set over thee unto a nation which neither thou nor thy fathers have known. And there shalt thou serve other gods, wood and stone. And thou shalt become an astonishment, a proverb and a byword among all nations whither the Lord shall lead thee. Thou shalt carry much seed out into the field. You're about to work really hard, but you bring in little, for the locusts consume it. Thou shalt plant vineyards and dress them. Thou shalt not drink of the wine nor gather the grapes, for the worms will eat them. Thou shalt have olive trees throughout all thy coast, but thou shalt anoint thyself with oil, for thine olive shall cast his fruit. Thou shalt begat sons and daughters, but thou shalt not enjoy them, for they go into captivity. All thy trees and fruit of the land shall the locust consume. Verse 44, he shall lend to thee, but you will not lend unto him. Debt is a part of the curse. He shall be the head, and you will be the tail. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon you and will pursue you and overtake you until you be destroyed. You keep reading here, and to finally make it in, go down to verse 59. It says, then the Lord will make thy plagues wonderful, and the plagues of thy seed, even great plagues, and the long continuance and sore sickness and of long countenance. Moreover, he will bring upon thee all the diseases of Egypt, which thou wast afraid of, and thou shalt cleave unto thee. Every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of the law, them will the Lord bring upon thee until you are destroyed. What is this? It's the curse. It's you doing everything in your power to see success, but nothing works. Financially, no progress. Health, no progress. And what mankind has tried to do for thousands of years is manage this. And some have seen success in one area, but then it seems like it's stolen away in another area. It's a part of the curse. Without God, all you can do is manage this. You can do your best to stay healthy. You can take your vitamins. You can go to the doctors. You can do regular checkups. And then you can fight off some sickness and disease. For business, you can go to school, you can get a good degree, you can get a high education, you can be smart with investments, and you can try to keep fighting to make money in this life. But it's all you doing it. It's a toil, and it wears you out, and you're not having fun, and there is no joy because it's full of sorrow. And even outside of that, some things pop up that you didn't see coming. And the doctors tell you there's nothing in the natural you can do to fight this. Nothing we can do to manage this. An attack hits a nation or an economy so hard that even the best economists can't figure out what to do with it. Why? It's the curse. It's been here ever since Adam sinned. It's not God being bad. It's the curse in the earth. God didn't bring the curse. Mankind brought the curse when mankind sinned. The curse is the blessing twisted. The power that's in the blessing got transferred over to Satan. And he twisted it and turned it negative. It's worked against mankind ever since. The curse changed almost everything. Didn't change everything, though. Just almost. There's one thing it didn't change. And guess what that is? God. God never changes. In him there is no variableness nor shadow of turning. He is the Lord thy God. He changes not. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. So when the curse came in the earth, God had no intention for mankind to manage the curse. No intention for mankind to even fight against the curse. God's intention from day one, right after man sinned, was to bring the blessing back to his men, back to his women. The blessing not only works against the curse, it swallows it up in your life to where it's overtaking you. And instead of you working against the curse, the blessing works for you against it. And you can sit back and see progress in life without the toil. That it makes rich, it brings progress with no sorrow in your life. God's intention was to bring the blessing back. Go over to Isaiah 51. I really will close with this. Give me one more minute. Isaiah 51. Oh, amen. I'm excited about this. Isaiah 51. And let's look here. Once again, what was God's intention for mankind? It was to bless him. His first thing that he did for man was bless him. Then what did he do? He put a garden. What was the garden? It was everything man would enjoy all in one place, where increase almost took care of itself and all mankind had to do was manage the increase. Not manage the work, manage the increase that God was bringing. Once again, God never changes. Oh, he never changes, friend. If he wanted it for Adam, he wants it for you too. His goal from day one was to slap his blessing all over you where you could live in your own version of the Garden of Eden. I'll prove it to you in Isaiah 51, verse 1. He says, "Hearken unto me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord." He says, "Listen to me." You say you're seeking the Lord? Listen to me. "Look unto the rock where you were hewn," in order, look from where you came out of. This is what he's saying. Look from where you came out of. "Look from the rock where you were hewn and the hole of the pit where you were digged. Look unto Abraham your father and unto Sarah that bare you. For I called him alone and blessed him and increased him." Here God is saying, look at your spiritual heritage. You call yourself a child of God, it means you're a child of Abraham. Look at your spiritual heritage. Look at the rock that you came out of. How I blessed Abram. How I increased Abraham. Then go down to verse 3. "For the Lord shall comfort Zion, his church. He will comfort all waste places. He will make her wilderness like Eden and desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found therein, thanksgiving and a voice of melody," a voice of singing. Once again, the curse changed almost everything, but it didn't change the one thing that counted. It didn't change God. And what God wanted for his man Adam is the same thing he wants for everyone who calls upon his name, to bless him. Why? To overcome the curse, to be redeemed and bought back from it, walking in the blessing. What happens when you're walking in it? Your waste places, the places that are destroyed, the places where it seems like everyone else is failing, to you it's like the Garden of Eden. It's his covenant with you. It's his covenant. Well, we're going to see over the next couple of weeks, for sure, at least next week, I would think. Who knows? So we'll see. I'm planning on it. It's for you to see the lineage of the blessing. That right after God blessed Adam and he sinned, he found another man named Noah. You know the first thing God did to Noah? He blessed him. Right after God found Noah, out of his lineage came three sons. One son got the curse put on his life because of what he did. The other son got a blessing named Shem. Out of him came a lineage. And out of that lineage came Abram. Out of Abram, God found a man who would work with the blessing fully. There came a nation out of him called the nation of Israel. And you'll see how out of that the blessing came upon them. And when they worked with the blessing, there was nothing in this world that could overtake them. When they turned their back on the blessing, the curse started to work in their life. And finally, we're going to accumulate it to see how Jesus Christ really did redeem you from the curse. That now the blessing of the Lord is not found by obedience, but rather found through faith. That Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross of Calvary was make himself a curse for you so that he could buy you back from your own actions and your own sin so that the blessing would come upon your life for all those who would claim it and believe in it. I'm going to show you all the way through every book of the Bible where the blessing of the Lord shows up until where you can see that it's on you. How do you activate it? Faith. Faith. The same way you activate salvation, you believe to see the blessing of God. Every head bowed, every eye closed. We're going to pray, and I'll let you leave. Father.